Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, that's ever been heard. Right in the heart of the story of Jesus Christ, we find what has been called the great or the greatest invitation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Right in the heart of this passage, we find three particular things that I want us to focus on today. The first thing that we notice is a person, that being Jesus Christ, who is available. But then after that, we understand and notice that we have a problem that is brutal. But because of the problem, we see that there is a peace that is available. When you think about Jesus and God making Him available to us from the very onset and when He sent Him to this earth, His job was to seek and to save those that were lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. And in that, God made His Son available concerning the salvation and what He was offering to mankind through the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His Son to mankind that He might come to know and understand how wonderful His Son is. But we also understand through that availability that not everybody has accepted nor chosen to follow who Jesus Christ is. And because of that, the problem of sin becomes brutal. And in that, they lose the peace that is available. And one of the wonderful blessings that we have in being God's children is that we continue to have that person that is available for us, that helps us with the problem of the brutality of sin, but that gives us a peace that passes all understanding. 1 John 1:7 tells us, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness." That is, we continually have the blessing of that blood because we understand for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that means you and that means me. But in the context of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where I want us to focus our attention this morning, we see a person that is readily available to us. But it's an understanding specifically what Jesus is saying here that helps us to better understand how wonderful the invitation is to those inside the body of Christ as well as outside the body of Christ. Because we have all struggled knowing Jesus is available, because the brutality of sin has beaten us down, sometimes beyond recognition spiritually speaking, and sometimes we forget the wonderful peace that He does provide for us. So when you think about Jesus Christ, one of the things we know is that He is readily available to us, just not everybody seeks Him. We can see that given in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, and that many people that will seek Him not according to His word. And with that, Jesus says, "Because of your disobedience, I'll have to tell you before my Father that I never knew you." And in that, that should tear our hearts from the inside out. And we understand not everybody accepts the precious idea of what it means to be obedient, because the world says it's easier through the brutality of sin, though we don't always take it at face value. Through the brutality of sin, the world and the devil says, "Take that wide path because it's easy." But Jesus said that's a false pretense and a straight out lie, because the devil is the father of lies, as we see in the Bible. And because he is the father of lies, he tells us that his way is easy. But in the very beginning, Jesus makes this preference known in saying, from the very onset, he said, "Come unto me, all you." Now we have to understand in the context of the word "you" in the Greek is in the plural form here, not in the singular. So what Jesus is saying in the original is, "Come unto me," singular, "all you," plural. Everyone come unto me. Now, we remedy that in the South by saying, come unto me, all y'all, right? And if you're from the North, I'm not going to leave you out. All you-ins are yous, right? All yous come unto me who are beat down and heavy laden. So Jesus is saying, come unto me, singular, all of you, plural, everyone. But it's interesting in understanding how Jesus is phrasing this is that we have to back up to verse 27. And in that, one of the things you notice here in the Greek is an interjection or an interruption. And with that, we have to understand why Jesus is making this point to us. So notice with me Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows gnosko. That's an intimate knowledge of who Jesus is referring to as the Father. No one knows the intimate knowledge that I have of the Father. And no one knows the intimate knowledge that the Father has of me. Many of you several months ago, back in September when my parents were visiting, were able to meet my Father. But you don't know my Father like I know my Father. And many of you have come to know me through my crazy socks and all, that in that, you still don't know me like my Father knows me. Because in that, there's a special and an intimate relationship that a father and son share with each other. And only in that do you understand what Jesus is saying here. He said, no one gnosko knows the intimate relationship that I have with my Father like I know my Father. And you don't truly know me as my Father knows me. But he says, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Interruption. It's that Jesus is in the middle of a conversation here and he says, oh, but wait. Come right now. As if he's making a conversation and a point, but he interrupts himself here and says, but come unto me, all you, everyone, who are beat down, who are burdened, and who are heavy laden. Come to me. So in that, he's bringing the attention back to the point that he's trying to make here. Come unto me, singular, because I'm the only one that's going to provide you with the peace that passes all understanding. I'm the only one that can help you with the brutality of what sin is. Jesus here in the Great Invitation is saying, I am the one who is available. I am here for you. You don't know the intimate relationship that I have with my Father, but wait, you can still come to me. You can still know me. You can learn of me, because in that I can give you something that no man can provide you that will give you rest for your souls. And brethren, Jesus is available because we need our rest for our souls. And because he provides us with the peace that we need, and understanding that he carries the burden, Jesus Christ tells us, I am available. And brethren, guess what? Jesus has always been available. You go back to the book of Exodus, and even Paul references Jesus being that rock that he was to the nation through the Old Testament Israel. And understanding that Jesus was even then, if I understand my studies correctly, being the angel of the Lord, even during those times when Israel was struggling and faltering and pointing the blame at God, Jesus said, I am and continue to be available. In Exodus chapter 14, when the Israelites were standing on the edge of the Red Sea, complaining and moaning to Moses. In Exodus 14 and verse 13, Moses said, if you'll be quiet for just a little bit, then you can see the salvation of the Lord, which he will surely show you today. And then you jump down a little further to 19 through 20. Jesus then becomes that pillar of cloud and smoke that places himself between Pharaoh's army and the nation of Israel to provide the person who was available. And even in New Testament times, Jesus continued to make himself available. Because when Peter was faltering on the sea, right? The Greek gives the idea that they were being tormented by the winds and the sea. And in that, Jesus walking to them and calming them and telling them that he was still available even when Peter was faltering in his faith of who Jesus was. Brethren, Jesus had always been available. What happens many times in our lives as we are beaten down, we forget the me. And that Jesus is the only one who provides the answer to what the brutality of sin can do to us. Because, brethren, the problem is that sin is brutal. Sin will beat you down and knock you into a hole that you never think or never can imagine getting out of. The devil paints the despair of being something that's alleviated simply by the idea of how great and pleasurable sin is. But brethren, sin is brutal, and it will leave you lonely and without. And that's exactly something that the devil wants you to believe. The devil says, Jesus says, every one of you have the ability to come to me, to lean upon me, to know me, to follow me, to understand me. But if you allow the brutality of sin, and when our Savior is available, watch closely what he says here. Come unto me, all of you, who labor and are heavy laden, and I, in the original, give is not there. Jesus said, come unto me, every one of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. And when you look at the original Greek form of the word rest there, it comes from two ideas or two words. The idea of end or coming to a conclusion and up. The conclusion of your struggles in life will come to an end, and I am going to bring you and rest you up. Come to me because I will give you the rest you need. And brethren, sometimes we are so weary and so tired. Jesus is what we need for rest. And he's the only one that can provide that. Being spiritually and emotionally physically weary. Come unto me, all ye who weary, he says, in reference to your past. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but if I were to venture a guess, 100% of us this morning have a past that has beaten us down. A past that has caused us to be weary beyond compare sometimes. A past that we hope no one ever understands or shares with us. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary because of your past. I will rest you up and give you the rest that you need because of the burden, which the Greek gives this idea of a heavy load being placed upon a donkey or a mule, because of the burden and the weights of the world of your past that's pulling and pushing you down. Come unto me, singular, all you, plural, who are struggling through weariness of your past, who are burdened because of the consequences of your sin that are beating you down because you know you can't carry that burden anymore. Jesus says, come to me. Because the one who continues to slump over the bottle of alcohol because they think it's the only answer to their problems, Jesus says, come. To the one who regrets the trip to the abortion clinic with the bucket that's out back, weeping in tears and sobbing because of the decision that she made, Jesus said, yes, I want you to come. To the one who has turned their back on the very one who died for them at the cross of Calvary, Jesus says, yes, I still want you to come. Because Jesus is the person that's available through the problem and the brutality of what sin does to us. When you are weary, Jesus says, because of your past mistakes, and when you are tired of carrying that load, Jesus says, bring it to me. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I don't think we're going to find a greater example of what a true friend Jesus is to us. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus is telling us, let me take it off of your shoulders. Several weeks ago, we talked about this idea of not forgiving ourselves and putting on that backpack of sin and cramming those rocks into it, nobody knowing what the rocks look like or how many we have or all the sand and the grit that's in the crevices. But stitched on the back of that backpack was the word guilt. And brethren, when we continue to bury or carry that load alone, we carry the guilt of our past, and Jesus said, I'm available to take it away. Brethren, let him have it. Let him take it away from you. Because that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. He wants to take that burden off of us. He wants to cast it away so you don't have to feel the weight of the world anymore. And what he's telling us concerning how brutal sin is that buzzard that's disguised as a swan. It's toxic mingled with honey. It looks good on the surface and it sounds good at its heart, but it will tear you to shreds. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and you will pay a price that you never wanted to pay. But the devil's good at painting the picture and telling us not to read the fine print at the bottom of the Bible, right? Jesus said, don't go there. Because if you take that wide path, and many are going to take it, and it seems easy at the onset, it's an easy path, right? Don't go down that road. But you know the great thing sometimes because of our stupidity sometimes, and because of the bad decisions of life, we think that way's the way. And as we walk halfway down the path, we turn around and go, is it too far to turn back now? Or should I just keep on walking? Jesus says, I don't care how far you've been down that path. Come back to me. I'll help you back down that path. I'll guide you back down that path. Just bring it to me. Brethren, why is it that we are so afraid to take our problems to the one who can heal us, spiritually speaking? Because, brethren, there's not a man in this world that can alleviate the pain that you're suffering through right now concerning the spiritual decisions that you made or the physical consequences that you're suffering through, because no man will have what Jesus Christ gave. And in that, we understand through all of those things then, because what Jesus provides is the peace that helps us reckon the past. Jesus said, I can provide you with a peace that man cannot understand. And you know the great thing about that is it's called forgiveness. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, every one of you, and put it on my shoulders. But I want you to notice something here. Notice the plural, or rather the singular pronouns concerning Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now notice the personal pronouns here. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In that, we see seven times Jesus referring to himself, and then five times referring to ourselves, in that it's almost as if Jesus says, intermingle yourselves with me through the struggles in your life, and I will give you something you cannot find anywhere else in this world. Jesus said, lay it on my shoulders, as if he wants us to engulf who he is, because he's the only one that can take away the possession of the guilt. And through the idea of what forgiveness is, Jesus says, nobody can give you the peace. And when you pillow your head at night and understanding that sin is no longer to bear, you no longer have to worry about it. Taking off that backpack of guilt with all the weighted down rocks that are bringing you down in life, you no longer have to have the conscience of what that sin is. And brethren, who cares what man thinks it was? Because you will not stand before him on the day of judgment. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you. But pay attention to the last part that I want us to focus on before we close this morning. Because we understand how sin is brutal, and because Jesus gives us that peace, that gives us that rest, to help us to rest up, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Yoke here in the Greek is the idea of a balanced scale. Okay? I'm not going to take your past, Jesus says, as you give it to me, and see if it outweighs the good that you've done in this life. That's not the way grace works. That's not how obedience operates. Jesus said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your past, and my grace, which shall be sufficient for you through your obedience, will cover up what you've done through my blood. Jesus said, take my yoke. Learn of me, he says. I'm the balanced scale. I'm the one that's going to tip the scale in your favor. And then he says, my burden is light. Jesus says, you are heavy laden, you are weighed down because of your past, but I will take it away. I want to read with you an Old Testament passage. And when you think about individuals from past, and when you think about David, if anybody understood a burden, it was him. Through his decisions, because of his consequences, he understood what it meant to bring everything to God. If you don't believe me, just read Psalm 51. Oh, mercy, he asked for God. Lord, have mercy upon me. Blot out my transgressions, he says. But in Psalm 23, David understands the idea of what it means to have one who looks over you, to have the good shepherd, right? Jesus also referring to himself in the New Testament as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus, the one who's willing to lay at the door to keep the devil at bay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, before the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus understood the peace that God provided. Look at the first three words of Psalm 23. The Lord is. Now notice the last three words that David writes here. The Lord forever. The Lord is the Lord forever. Brethren, he's not going anywhere. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you down and out, and you will never do it by yourself. If you allow me to take this weight off of your shoulders, that which is your wearied from your past, I will take the burden off of you, I will place it upon me, and I will forever be your God who walks steadfastly along with you through the trials and temptations of this life. If you don't think we have a forgiving God after what David did concerning his consequences as he was begging for mercy from God as his child was dying, you don't think God won't take your burdens away? Look at David. If you don't think we have an understanding in God that's willing to take away our burdens, think about the shame and the guilt that Peter felt as he glanced across that courtyard at his Lord and Savior, of whom he said he would never turn his back on. Peter, do you love me? You see, that's the God we serve. The Lord is the Lord forever. If you are burdened because of your past, brethren, peace is possible. And you don't have to do it alone. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you, every one of us today, who are laboring and are heavy laden because of our past sins and problems and transgressions. And he said, I will rest you. I will provide you with that rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Let me take that sin and outweigh it with what my blood will do for your consequences. Because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you, all of you, will find rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brethren, we all struggle in this life. But the one thing we have to realize is we have the only one who can provide us with the comfort and care and concern that takes away what the burden does to us. We all have a past, and we all hold the key to the closet. For that which many of us shove deep down in our pockets into the recesses of our drawers because we don't want anyone to know who we used to be. And in that, even Paul, relegating this idea many times as he talked about how horrible who he was and the transgressor that he was, and he was the one persecuting the church. But even then, he understood the only person that was going to carry that burden for him as he pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, was God himself. Rather than your past does not define who you are now as a Christian. And Jesus says, if you'll bring it to me, I don't care about your past. Brethren, there's no greater gift than that which God gave at Calvary, that we might be relieved of the burden of our past. So today, if that's bearing upon you, and if it's weighing you down, and if you're struggling with the consequences of who you used to be, but you no longer want to be that person, Jesus says, bring it to me. Come to me. Let me take it off of you. And with that, if you're willing to walk forward in obedience to the gospel plan that he's given, and he makes it easy, if you're willing to repent of your past, Jesus said, you've got to take that step because I've got to take it away from you. If you'll repent of your past, confess me as the Son of God who died for you, your Savior, Jesus said, I'll stand before God Almighty and confess your sweet name to him, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And with that, Jesus says, I will take your burdens down into that watery grave and I will bury them into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more by my precious blood, and you don't have to worry about it either. And with that, we can come out clean, we can come out refreshed, and we can come out as new people. But you know what? Even in that, we fall short of God's glory sometimes. And we make decisions based upon what we want in life. Even as we walk that path of righteousness, sometimes our toe ventures off the path slightly, doesn't it? Sometimes unintentionally. It's not where we want to go. Sometimes it's intentionally based upon our bad decisions. But what God says, I'll push you back on that path, but you've got to bring it to me. Let me get you back where you need to go, but you can't take that with you. Bring it to me. As together we stand and as we sing.